Morning, church. Shalom. Hallelujah. Okay, let me just say a word of prayer, then we get straight into it. Amen. Lord, we thank you that you are here. We thank you, God, that your presence is here. We are about to read your word. We pray that, more importantly, not just that we read your word, but your word will read us. That we not just get into your word, but your word will get into us. And that the seed of your word will take root in our hearts and start to bear fruit out of our lives. So we just commit ourselves to you. Even right now, our focus, our mind, our hearts, our eyes and ears, we just commit our whole self to you, God. Do what only you can do. Let your will be done here on earth as it is done in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, great. Can you turn with me to John chapter 15? John chapter 15. And we're going to explore and study one of the I am statements of Jesus Christ. I think there's at least seven where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. But today we're going to look at one of his statements. And in fact, I think this is the last one before he went to the cross. So usually last words are very important. Amen? Yes? You choose your last words carefully, right? Because it's your last words. You don't want to just simply say things. So let's look at the passage. It's John chapter 15, verse 1 to 5. And once again, it's a great privilege to be invited back. I think it's a good sign when you get invited back. Yes? Hope so. not sure after today anymore or not. But it's always good to be here and good to be with the people of God. Amen. I believe that we are one big family in Christ and one big kingdom. We may have different expressions, different styles, but we believe the same Lord Jesus Christ, and I think that's important, and so good to be able to worship with all of you this morning. And now let's look at the Word of God. Is that cool? John 15, verse 1 to 5. It says, here we go. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. A branch, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. God bless the reading of his word. Amen. So some context. John 15, what's going on there? What's going on when he spoke these words? Basically, John 14 to John 17, the chapters, is often called the Last Supper Discourse. It's like his last speech, maybe his last sermon, so to speak. And he spoke them to the closest people, his disciples. Because this was his last teaching. He taught them many things, and this was his last sermon, last Bible study, last hangout. And as Jesus was preparing himself to be betrayed and then to be executed on the cross, he took some time. He knew. He's God, so he knew beforehand that his time has come. Knowing that, he did this. He spoke this message. Yep. And because hours after this supper and this message, he was indeed betrayed, handed over to the Roman soldiers, and then he was crucified after. All right. So, again, last words. Very important, right? How many of you, it's your last breath, last words. What would you say? How many of you will say, please switch off the kettle? Or like, hey, feed the dog. Or like, can you please turn on my game so that you can collect the coins? No one does that. It's your last words. You want to make sure you say something very, very important that will be passed on to the next generation or whoever's taking over, stuff like that, right? So, if you can read these words in that context, Jesus is saying one last thing to you. And I believe these are words of great importance. Words that reveal God's deep love and God's deep concerns of his heart for his people. Amen? So, of all the things you could say, he's saying these things. I am the vine, you are the branches. Stuff like bearing fruit. Stuff like without me you can do nothing. So, very important. So, what are we to learn from Jesus' last words before he was crucified? There's at least five things I want to share with you today. And let's
get straight to it, okay? So this is the Last Supper. Number one, I believe that God desires fruitfulness in all of us. Fruitfulness. Somebody say fruitfulness? Amen. We can see this when Jesus emphasizes not just fruit, not just bear fruit. He says what? Bear much fruit. So He wants us to not just be fruitful, He wants us to be very fruitful. Amen? In fact, what was the first commandment to human beings? When the first human beings was created, what's the first thing He said to human beings? Imagine, you were just created, you just existed for like 1-2 seconds, and the first thing you hear from your creator is, be fruitful and multiply. Pretty important, right? Be fruitful and multiply. And before you all think, that's making babies and populate the earth. Because we normally hear it, right? Usually it's the third yamsing at the Christian wedding. Oh, no, okay, the third toast, huh? Okay, be fruitful and multiply, have lots of children. Then we, I'm saying, drink. So we all think that be fruitful and multiply means make babies populate the earth. That's not true, because if that's true, then only married people can fulfill God's command. Children, boy and girl, man, woman, is given this command because we're human beings. Jesus says, God says to every humankind, be fruitful and multiply. It's more than just populating the earth. I am the vine, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Right? He takes away. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Yeah. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. So, Jesus, God, is very, very, very interested in us bearing fruit. Somebody say amen. And we said just now the first commandment that God gave to humankind is be fruitful and multiply. What does this mean? This means that God wants us to be productive. God wants us to produce. Somebody say produce. God wants us to be productive. God wants us to produce. That means while we live our life on this earth, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be productive. We're not supposed to be doing nothing. We're not supposed to be achieving nothing. Amen? No matter what age you are, what generation, if you're a student, you're supposed to be productive as a student. If you are a young adult at your first job, you're supposed to be productive as a young adult at your first job. If you are a business owner, you're supposed to be if you are a homemaker, you're supposed to be productive. Whoever you are, wherever you are, you're meant to be productive because it's a commandment of God. Amen? God wants you to produce. Now, we talked about fruit, right? What is another word for fruit and vegetables? Produce. Be fruitful. Be productive. Somebody say amen. Based on the parable of the talents, Matthew 25. Remember that? Jesus told a story. So Jesus wasn't given a historical account. He's telling a story. And He only tells stories to do what? To entertain? Because the disciples were bored? No. He tells stories to teach. So He told a story, a parable about a master who owns everything he owns, and he had masters living on those land, and then he went away and will come back again, but while he's away, he entrusted something to each of the servants. Sounds familiar? God owns everything. God has servants living on the land He created. He entrusted every single one of those. I think I preached it here or the KLBC church about Matthew 25 once. Everyone that lives on God's land has been entrusted with something. Yes, it's 5, 2, 1. Maybe you think you have less. Maybe you think you have more. That's not how God sees it. God gave you what is right for you. And what you're supposed to do, we learn very clearly from the story that you're supposed to be productive. The 5 produce 5 more. The 2 produce 2 more. The 1, it's not that he had kosong. It's not that he had 0. He had something. He had the original amount that was given to him, and he gave it back to the master. So it's not like he's 0. It's just that he wasn't productive. He grew 0%. And it's very clear in the story who God wants us to be like. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. You wicked and lazy servant. Take what you have, give it to the one who has more. You follow the story so far? Is it clear to you now that God's desire for us is that we are productive? How many of you have ever felt bored before? You felt bored. You're human beings or what? How many? Okay, let me ask it the other way around. How many of you have never felt boredom in your life ever? Okay, I'm so glad I'm speaking to human beings. Do you know why you have this mechanism in you called boredom? It's because God wants us to be productive. Boredom is a symptom, like fever is a symptom that something's wrong. Boredom is a symptom to tell you, you are not being productive. But sometimes we don't realize it, so I'm bored, so I'll go play another game. Oh, I'm bored, so I'll sleep some more. If you don't read the symptoms properly, you will treat it wrongly. Yes? So boredom is a symptom, like fever is, like headache is. It tells you something's wrong. And the wrong is, you're not being productive with your time. So the next time you feel bored, be productive. This is what it's meant to do. Amen? So, from the story of the Matthew 25 parable of the talents, we know that God will not just return. God will return. He will return. But He's obviously not returning for what He gave you originally. Remember the third guy? The master is not satisfied with you just giving back to him what you were given in the first place because you have not been productive. 0% growth. That's not what God wants. God's not coming back for what He gave you. He's coming back for what He gave you with interest. Didn't the master say, you want to do nothing also? You lazy also? Never mind. Put in the bank, ma. At least you'll grow interest, right? Now, God is not like a greedy God. He's teaching us a principle. You know, it's never been just about money. That's why I know God's not greedy. It's about being productive. It's about having God's DNA. He's a creative God. He wants us also to be creative with our life, with our resources. Amen? Everybody okay so far? Our God is a God of increase. The word says, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So God is a God of increase. He loves making something more than its original state. Amen. Increase. Interest means increase. Increase means achievement. Achievement means not leaving things as they are, but as they should be, which is better. Amen. And achievement brings about a sense of satisfaction, fulfillment, which in turn brings joy and happiness. This mechanism is inbuilt into us. All these feelings are clues to lead us back to the Word of God, and our very first command, be fruitful and multiply. Amen? That's why how it works is God entrusts you with something. It can be time. If you're a young person, you have lots of time, presumably. You know, if you are a person with a lot of network influence, that's all resources God has given you. Do you realize that God is not sitting up in heaven? In fact, God has never made a table. God being so powerful and has lived so long, He has never made a table. You know that, right? Are you computing now? He's never made a table. He made trees. He made trees that produces wood. And He entrusted trees to us human beings. He gave us a brain. He gave us hands. We are the one who take the resources God gave us, like a tree, turn it into wood, and then with whatever God has given us, we turn it into a house, into a ship, into a boat, into a table, into an iPhone cover, into the handle for your offering bag. Amen. What resources has God given us? Besides trees, your children, your money, your position in your company, all of that is God-given and you're supposed to take it and make it better. Amen. So God is very, very interested. God desires fruitfulness in us. Number two, God deals with fruitfulness in us through process. In John 15, God tells us, I want you to be fruitful, but there is a process. He takes away and He prunes. All that is part of the process in God bringing about fruitfulness in our lives. It's not always going to be smooth sailing. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And everyone that does that bears fruit, He prunes. So whether you don't bear fruit or you bear fruit, there is a process that God takes you through. Why? Ultimately, so that you both will bear more fruit. You'll be productive with your life. The word take away, aero, in the Greek means to lift up. Sometimes, when we are not bearing fruit, God may lift us up. I know the word takes away feels like very scary, like, God's going to throw me out of KLBC. No, the word aero actually means lift up. Maybe God will give you some encouragement, maybe through the preaching on Sunday, or maybe through a hand on a shoulder from a brother, and God encourages you, come on, you can do this. So sometimes God encourages you. Other times he disciplines you. The word arrow also means to discipline. Take away means discipline. Maybe it takes you through a tough time. Maybe it takes you through some kind of teaching or correction. Amen? The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Every father who loves his children will correct his child. Yes? Amen. So God does that. So don't be surprised when sometimes God disciplines and sometimes other time God encourages. He's not schizophrenic. He's not, what is this God? Sometimes call me, sometimes praise me. Every parent should understand this, right? But there's also a process called pruning. Pruning. And this is interesting because this process is what God does to people who are bearing fruit. The Bible says sometimes I have to prune. The master prune so they can bear even more fruit. But he does the pruning to the branches that are already bearing fruit. So don't mistake this. Sometimes when God takes away something, pruning means God taking away stuff, removing things in your life, and you think, God hates me, God's punishing me. Hey, it could be God's doing that because you are fruitful. You are doing well. You are on the right path. Amen? You're on the right path, and if God doesn't remove the extra weight around you, you're not going to last long, so God removes some of this weight. Like Paul says, laying aside every weight that ensnares us. Amen? Because along the way, we collect a lot of stuff. We collect memories, collect burdens, collect past, collect offenses. It's going to get heavy. True or not, human beings, yes. On this journey of life, we start well, but along the way, someone says something, a little hurt here. Someone does something, a little bitterness there. And so God has to take all this away. So when God disciplines and God does this pruning, it could be that you're on the right path. But whatever it is, there is a process. And God is involved in that process. And it doesn't always feel nice. It doesn't always look like how we want it to be. But God knows what he's doing. Amen? And so we just let God do it. We just allow God to go through that process. Now, number one, God desires fruitfulness. Number two, God designed that fruitfulness happens through a process that he takes us through. Number three, God designed that fruitfulness in us come only through Jesus. It always boggles my mind why Jesus says, if you're not connected and not abiding in me, you can't bear fruit and you will do nothing. Quite extreme, right? You can do nothing. I can drive car. I can breathe. I run my business. Sometimes whole week I don't pray also. My business do well. Wait. I forgot. That one whole month I didn't come to church. Really, what? My business still doing well. What is Jesus talking about? Well, if you read your entire Bible, you may get a clue. See, it's dangerous, Christians, to read one verse and then make that one verse become our theology and our doctrine for life. Because that's not how the Bible works. Everything's connected. So we'll show you in a while. Is that okay? Okay, great. So abide in me, Jesus says, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We know that God designed, he designed it that way. It's hardwired into you. That whatever you do while you're not connected with Jesus doesn't count. And if you want real fruit, it only comes through Jesus. God desires that we flourish. But in order to flourish, we need to be nourished. You know, everything you produce while you're not connected to Jesus is toxic, it's dangerous, it's poisonous. But when you're connected to the nourishment that God comes from, the Word of God and the Spirit of God, the fruit that you bear, those are healthy. And the only way to be nourished is through the only way. Jesus. Amen? So let me suggest to you, if there is a true vine, Jesus says that, right? I think, you know, do you believe this? Every word in the Bible is intentional and purposeful. Nothing there is by chance. So Jesus says, he didn't just say, I am the vine. He didn't say, I'm a good vine. He didn't say, I'm a better vine than the other vine. He didn't say, like, you know, if you're choosing a vine, choose me. He said, I am the true vine. So if there is a true vine, there must be false vines. Yes? I call false vines, not even like sinful stuff, bad stuff, bank robbery and rape and murder. It's Christianity without Christ. I'm speaking to Christians this morning, yes? Am I not? Christianity without Christ. Someone said this, Francis Chan, find the right creative team, musicians, and speakers, and you can grow any church. It doesn't even have to be a Christian church. And I'll confess to you, as a preacher, as a pastor, I have to prepare sermons every week and preach, either in my church or someone else's church. I have to do that. And can I confess to you, out of, I don't know, maybe 100 sermons, there are some of it, I just rock up on stage and just blab something. I didn't pray. I didn't fast. I mean, I'm not telling lies. It's not like I'm preaching from some other Bible. I am preaching from the Bible. So that's why it looks so innocent. I'm preaching the word of God, but I didn't prepare. I didn't get on my knees and, God, what are you saying to your people? Sometimes that happens. That's professional Christianity. Just show up and do the thing. I'm a worship leader too. There are times where I didn't prepare. I just sing it the way I sang the last time. It's dangerous. Christianity without Christ. Fruits without connected to the branch. And that's why just because you're making money in your business and just because your children are behaving well and just because your ministry is flourishing, just because people are listening to your preaching, just because all that, hey, does not mean those are fruits that will last. Have you ever done fasting without prayer? It's called a diet. How about praying without faith? How many of you Christians have prayed so long you know how to pray without actual faith? You just pray. Just pray. My son, who's 8 years old now, so during the pandemic, which is about 4 years ago, he was 4 years old, obviously, right? So I taught him how to do devotion every night since then. He was 4 years old, so you know, he can't do spring tongues and all that, right? So it's just very simple. Read a story. I force him to ask me three questions. He asked me three questions. I'm teaching a young person to be curious about the Bible. I'm teaching him that it's okay to ask questions about the Bible. I'm teaching him to be inquisitive and learn. So today he asked me very tough questions now. Jonah is a prophet, right? Why did he run away from God? No, stuff like that. how do I know the Bible is true at 8 years old? But do you know, my son has been praying the exact same prayer, word for word, for 4 years now, every night. He's still praying for COVID to go away. I'm serious, till today, because 4 years ago, he learned that prayer. Every night, he prays the Lord's Prayer, which is also word for word, and then he prays his prayer, word for word, for 4 years now, every day. Now, I'm not, some of them are like, how can la, not sincere la, you know, I get it. But I'd rather he learn how to pray, the discipline of praying every day, and then later I work on the actual heart of the prayer, right? I mean, my point is this, many Christians are like my eight-year-old son. We're just rehearsing the words, repeating the words. It's dangerous, because we can pray without faith. Talking without listening. How many of us do that? Husbands, are you here? Actually, wives too. Talking without listening. Or preaching without the word. How many motivational messages are being preached in churches on Sundays and Saturdays? Motivational speeches. Not really the word of God. Worship without God. You know when it's worship without God? When we walk away from church and we ask each other, hey AJ, how was worship for today? And he's like, today, very good. I love all the songs. As if worship was for you. How's worship for you today? Today, horrible. Horrible, I don't like it. As if worship was for you. You know what we should be doing? We should be walking out of church and ask each other, turn to heaven and say, God, how was worship for you today? I mean, perspective, yes? God, how was worship for you today? And God says, today. Where was your heart? Today I love. But God, today we were out of tune. I know you were out of tune. Of course I know. But I love your heart. It was pure, it was sincere. You get what I'm saying? Serving without worship. Professional Christianity. We can do the thing. We can come here and shake hands, arrange a chair, do the PA system. We can do all those things without actually worship. I'm just calling things out. Is that okay? Just calling things out so that we're aware. And be a little more careful. Doing without being. Like Martha and Mary, both Mary and Martha were doing the right thing. Just that one was doing it at the wrong time. It's not like we should be like Mary. Always sit at the feet of Jesus, do nothing. You come to church and sit. Then who's going to play the instrument? Who's going to do all these things? Not saying don't do anything. But knowing to doing the right thing at the right time. Knowing when to be and when to do. Martha had to learn that. Amen? And sometimes we can be, we call ourselves, oh, we are children of God, but we don't actually believe it. Being without believing. Oh, we're believers. I go to church. I'm on a worship team and 15 other teams. I'm pretty important in church. Yeah, sure. But do you believe? Because belief is to be and live what you believe. So if you believe in giving, you must be a giver and you actually give. Amen. You believe in following Christ and you obey every word of Christ. We only believe the parts of the Bible we actually obey. Amen. Everybody okay so far? No, no one's quoting anybody. It's just talking. Christians talking to each other, reminding each other. Come on. Amen. We cannot do Christianity without Christ. I believe that's what Jesus means by you cannot bear fruit without being connected to me. So don't shake hands with usher without being connected to Christ. Don't come up here and just sing four or five songs, three slow ones, two fast ones, whatever the formula is. Done this long enough to know, you know, clap, two, four, blah, 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 and not actually worship. And don't have to literally go downstairs, go to the car park. Hey, how was worship for you? Huh? Hey, brother, how was worship? Hey, don't ask me that. Don't ask me that. I mean, don't have to be so freaky, lah. But at least in your heart, that it is God. I hope, I pray that you were pleased with our worship today. And not just the singing. The giving, the sitting down and the listening to God's word. All that is worship. The how you live your life. The how you get your children into the car and not fighting with your husband on the way here to church. That's worship too. Ooh, am I being real? Alright, cool. We can all make a difference even without Jesus. Hey, can or not? Some of the companies make a difference in your life now. Making medicine, your toothpaste, some of these things, they're not even Christians making a difference in your life. But you want to make the difference that can only be with and through Jesus. Amen? So don't have a form of godliness, but denying its power, the essence. God says, don't be such people. Amen? Number four, God destined that fruitfulness in us be of eternal value. Now you understand why Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Because anything that has no eternal value is nothing to God. Because you understand, God lives outside of time. He's not bound by time. Yes? And that's why he says words like, moth will destroy those, I can't remember the word. But you know those treasures that we accumulate on earth can be destroyed. He says things like that because God is outside of time. That's how he values anything that's within time that can be destroyed, there's no value. What is that compared to eternity, right? So God thinks in terms of eternity. And God has put, Ecclesiastes, hey, eternity in our hearts. And so we have this inbuilt value system. We know what is of eternal value. But God destined that fruitfulness. When you talk about fruit, it's not just physical, material fruit. Those are good while we are on earth. But we must also think about fruit that will have eternal value. That's why he says, without me, you can do nothing. That's what he means. Nothing of eternal value. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. I appointed you. It's an assignment, my friends, that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit what? Fruit that will last. He defines the fruit that we're supposed to produce. Otherwise, we go around having our own list what fruit is. But God says, no. When I say fruit, I mean fruit that will last. Fruit that has eternal value. Amen. Well, what kind of fruits are they? I'll give you some examples. Not all the examples. Some examples. I've got 5 minutes. Four, maybe. Fruit of character. In your life, as you build your career, as you build your family, as you build your ministry, whatever it is you do, remember God is trying to build fruits of character in us. Because those things last. But the fruit of the Spirit. What kind of fruit? Fruits of character. Fruit of the Spirit is money, car, condominium, credit cards. No. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. God wants us to develop character. Amen? And so, He gives you a difficult situation. Why? To grow patience and love and joy. He gives you a family. Why? To grow all this. Everything God gives you is so that He can build character in us. Amen? Woohoo! Fruit of righteousness is the next fruit that we should... Oh, so brother, he's still there. Okay. Fruit of righteousness. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and what may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And so we live our lives as we live our lives to be productive, not just to be profitable, not just to make profits, but we should do so. Nothing wrong with making profits. Do it with purpose. Do it with righteousness. Amen. Make profit along the way. Bless other people. Be a blessing. Profit with purpose. Amen? Fruit of righteousness. How can I live my life and produce righteousness throughout my life? How can I be kind to my neighbor? How can I love my neighbor as myself, as I love God? How can I run a business that is a blessing and not a burden? Which relates to the next one. Fruit of good works. God wants us to produce fruit of good works. Colossians, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work. Amen? And increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. This is another kind of fruit that God talks about. Fruit of good works. Good works doesn't save us, but we're saved for good works. So if you're not doing any good works as a Christian, we have to question our salvation. I mean, it's as true and as real as that. You know, you don't have to save the whole world. You don't have to be Mother Teresa. You don't have to feed every single poor mouth in the country. No one can do everything, but everyone can do something. And if you can do that something, it's good. Lastly, fruit of thankfulness. Having a heart of gratitude, a heart of thankfulness. This kind of fruit is what God wants. God wants us to have a heart of contentment. Amen? Therefore, by Him, let us continue to offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Fruit of thankfulness. That as we grow in our life, whatever it is we face, we have this contentment, this gratefulness. You know that scripture, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Yes? How many of you have quoted that scripture before, as a student, before exam? Especially before you, because you haven't studied. How many of you pray before you go into a business deal? You know, you're not very sure whether yours is that convincing. You're like, I can do all things. Or maybe at a sports event, you know, you didn't train, everybody else trained, and you're like, I can do all things. Slight misunderstanding of that verse. Because you've got to read the context. You know what Paul was talking about? I paraphrase. He was talking about how, you know, I've been shipwrecked, lah. I've been comfortable, lah. I've had a lot to eat. I have little to eat. I've been comfortable. He's saying, in that context, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, meaning, as long as Christ is my vine, as long as Christ strengthens me, whether I get my business deal or I don't, whether I'm comfortable or I'm not, whether today got aircon, no aircon, whether I got food, no food, I can do this. I can honor Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the context. Not, I didn't study, but never mind, lah. Jesus can help me. I mean, I'm sure He can, because God is a miracle-working God, and you need a miracle, brother. But that scripture is talking about, like, hey, friends, as Christians, whether we have a lot or little, we can worship God. We can serve Him. We can love Him. Whether we're in a comfortable state, uncomfortable state, we can serve God, honor God, love God, worship God. We can do all things as long as Christ strengthens us. And how does Christ strengthen us? As long as we are connected to the vine. How we connected to the vine? We spend time in His presence. We are in communion with God. Amen? Not just in church, but every day of the week we're in communion with Him. Amen? Bow our heads and close our eyes as we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Shora basantai. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We honor you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Can I invite you to stand, if you don't mind? Would you stand to your feet as we close in prayer? And as you stand to your feet and as the worship team gets ready, and can I ask you to also just reflect on the word that we have just received? This is not just an encouraging word or a nice message. It, it, it sort of demands action on our part. Would we evaluate our lives and look at the fruit that we are currently producing? Which of these fruits are of earthly value only? Not saying they're bad, but more like to recognize which of these fruits are only of earthly value. And which of the fruits that we're producing that will be in the category of character and thanksgiving and good works and righteousness and other eternal value stuff. Can we take a quick moment? You probably need more than just a quick moment, but you know, just start that process. Maybe throughout the week, could we evaluate or reevaluate our lives? Whether we're a student, whether we're a child, whether we are adults, whether we are grandparents, can we reevaluate our lives and say, God, I want to live a fruitful life. And by that I mean produce fruit that will last. By that I mean I want to live a life in such a way that my life has an impact. I will leave a legacy for generations to come. And that legacy would lead them to know you and honor you and worship you. Come on, right now, Koro. Come on, Jesus. Jesus, move in this place. Holy Spirit, move among us, O Lord. Stir our hearts. Stir our hearts. Awaken our hearts. Bring awareness. Bring awareness to us, O God, Lord, so that we may be able to distinct what is of earthly value, what is of eternal value, and what we should focus on. Bring that awareness right now. Quicken our hearts, our spirit towards your word and towards your spirit. Help us make choices that will glorify you. Some of us here may have to let go of some things. I don't know what it may be. It could be as simple as a simple habit or a simple thing that is taking up time that is meant for you. Could be a relationship, someone that's taking up space that's meant for you. Whatever it may be, oh God, Lord, bring that revelation, bring that awareness, and bring the courage, oh God, Lord, to make that choice in order that we glorify you. So that, God, we can be truly abiding and connected to you, so that we can bear fruit that will last. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.